This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published in the month of January of the year 2021, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, and verse number 4. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." The title for the message, Signs of the Times. The message for this month has to do with what is in store for this nation following the results of this recent election cycle. This election of a man who, for all intents and purposes, is as much aligned with everything that is against what has made this nation the greatest nation on the face of the earth as you can get, goes to show the signs in which we are living. Now, in my saying this, let me clarify it. The only thing that has made America to be what it is, and it is not a thing but a person, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ. It is through Him that God has seen fit to bless this nation abundantly since its inception over 200 years ago. There are those that might not like it, but before this nation was founded, men from another country were inspired to leave that country and find a land where they could be free from the oppression of their homeland. They sought to be able to work for themselves, think for themselves, and mostly to worship as they saw fit. All of these things were not allowed where they came from. They were essentially servants, subjects, or slaves of the rulers of the land, and as such were unable to own anything of value like land, a house, or anything of high value. Any earnings they had were taxed to the point of rendering them to just barely being able to keep from being beggars. When it came to worship, that was regulated by the rulers of the country, which, for all intents and purposes, was just one more way to keep them under their control. So God provided some of them a vision where they saw a land where they could go and embark on a new direction for their lives, to be able to enjoy more of what God had to offer in the way of prosperity and freedom. But there is far more to the story of the founding of this nation than what I have time for here. But the bottom line is, God had a hand in the founding of this nation, and the men who set up its legal framework made note of the fact that they recognized that it was God to whom they owed praise, honor, and glory and worship for giving them the ability to achieve their dream. This is why we find that every major document that is related to this nation's beginning acknowledges God. Not only that, its laws reflect the laws found in the Holy Bible, which further gave evidence of His influence in this nation. Fast forward to today, and what I alluded to at the beginning of this message is the fact that the people apparently have chosen to elect an individual who does not agree with what God says is right and wrong. The reason I say apparently is because of the widespread allegations of cheating and voter fraud having been carried out by this man's party and associates to get him elected. Many of you may not see the significance of this situation, but rest assured, there could be consequences that, even though they may not be apparent now, will manifest themselves in the very near future, and people will begin to wonder what happened. That is where the title of this message comes from. In order for you to get the full picture of what is happening, we have to look at a few things that Jesus alluded to when he was asked by the politicians and religious leaders of his day, when they asked him to show them a sign from heaven that he was the Messiah. He began to explain to them that all of the things that he had been doing in front of them, like healing the sick, opening blind eyes, unstopping deaf ears, and even raising the dead, and many other things, should have been evidence enough as to who he is. Now, the reason for him saying this is because these are the ones who supposedly studied and knew the scriptures which foretold his coming and of the things that he would do. But no, they wanted some special, great bit of evidence so that they could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was who he said he was. He reminded, or rather chastised them by saying how they can look at the sky and know when a storm is coming or if it will be a fair day, but they can't tell who he is and why he is here. Now, mind you, these leaders, for the most part, knew what the scriptures said about the signs of the times would be that would usher in the coming of someone who would be a messenger of God sent to clear the way for man to be able to attain the relationship with God that he had before the fall. And yet, as Jesus is demonstrating these things, they don't recognize them or him and set about to find ways to get rid of him. They want him to do something big. His response is the subject verse in which he says, he is not going to do anything more than what he has been doing to prove himself to them. The reason being, they aren't really interested in following what he says. They are seeking a way to use what he says and does to get rid of him. The reason they wanted to do this is because he was taking their followers away. The people were seeing that this man was a man that was one of compassion, that not only spoke with authority but demonstrated it. This man was taking the control that these leaders had over the people away from them. That also meant he was taking away their source of income from the sacrifices and offerings the people made to them for the forgiveness of their sins. You see, back then, there were times when a lot of people were unable to produce the necessary sacrificial offerings for the remission of their sins. After all, back then, anything that was to be sacrificed to God had to be pure and without any spot or blemish. That meant the animal, in the case of blood sacrifices, had to be raised for just such a purpose. It could not have been mated with another. It could not be sick or injured or a half-breed. Anyone that knows about raising animals on a farm knows it is near impossible to have such an animal in their stock because animals will be animals. You can't keep an eye on them 24/7. All the special care that it would take to meet those standards of the sacrifice was too much for the average person to deal with. The answer was found in these religious leaders providing the animals for them for a price, of course. And the more serious the sin, the higher the price. The Bible doesn't say this directly, but I believe that there were spies among the people who were what we would call today paid informants that would report report these people to the leaders, who would then bring the guilty person to stand before them and be judged based on what these informants said about them. Now you can imagine what people who were essentially living a meager life with very little money would do. If they knew informing on others would mean a better life for themselves and their families, that's what they would do. They would become informants. As we have today, they would not only report on someone, they would probably also make up a lie about them as well, just to get some money or other favor from those in control. We see that all the time today. It's called bearing false witness. And you know what God says about that, don't you? Exodus chapter 20, verse number 16 says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Now, obviously, the more serious the charge, the more money they would get. So human nature would say, accuse them of major sins to get more reward. The leaders would be happy because they could get more wealth for themselves, and that if the person couldn't afford the price of the sacrifice, what little property that they did have would be confiscated, leaving them with little or nothing. This is one of the reasons we see Jesus going into the temple and chasing the money changers out, overturning the tables and accusing them of turning my Father's house into a den of thieves. Go to Mark chapter 11 and verse number 17 and Luke chapter 19 verse number 46. Anyway, as Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and doing miracles, most of the people stopped informing on their neighbors, and it was hard to get their informant to do their jobs because Jesus was shining the light on what was going on, and these leaders' business was being held up in front of all to see. So they had to find a way to get rid of him. The gist of the message back then is, evil people will do anything to keep what power they have over the less fortunate, no matter what God has to say about it. And if someone is standing in the way of or is a threat to that goal, then they have to be eliminated. Which brings me back to today and the election of a man who is representative of a political party and associates who hold the exact same views as those leaders did back then. They all had a goal that they are pursuing, and in 2016, a man came along that became a major threat to that goal. That man, Donald J. Trump, began saying and doing things that were a direct threat to them and their way of living. Now, I know many of you can't see him as being a man like Jesus Christ, but the reality of the situation is, he is not like Christ, but he is a vessel being used by him for such a time as we are in today. If you will recall, the all-out attacks against this man when he announced he was running for president, as well as when he won the office and during his term, by this newly elected man, his party, and associates, you can see the very same similarities to the attacks on Jesus Christ. Both of them were doing good for all the people, yet there were those among the leadership that wanted to get rid of them because of the exact same reason. They were doing good for all the people, and those leaders couldn't have that. So what you have is these leaders engaged in all sorts of things that to the eye of the casual observer might not seem that bad. However, to the born-again, spirit-filled Christian, it is showing the signs of the times that we are living in. And what are some of those signs? Leaving the faith we have in God through Jesus Christ in exchange for political correctness. Read 1 Timothy chapter number 4, the entire chapter. Trying to change the image of an incorruptible God into the image of corruptible man. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. They love the things that they like to do irrespective of what God has to say about them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses number 1 through 7. Calling evil good and good evil. Isaiah 5, verse number 20. These are but a few of the many scriptures that describe the state of being of mankind before God pours out his wrath on mankind. And yet, many Christian leaders, especially in the black community, can't see it, or they are being rewarded for looking the other way while the people are being destroyed. Matthew chapter 24, verses 22 through 24. Donald Trump was revealing the truth about all of them, politicians, preachers, and others. As a result, he, like Christ, had to be crucified. Shortly after he got elected, a friend of mine asked me if I thought he, Trump, would get assassinated. Knowing how people are, I thought that might be the case physically, but there are other ways to do it today that are bloodless. It is called character assassination. Since we live in a society that elects our leaders based on how well they are liked and the job that they have done, all you have to do is portray them as incompetent and evil, and you stand a good chance of getting rid of them. Of course, the flip side of that is taking someone that has evil intentions and portraying them as being the people, what the people want and need, and you have the makings of your next president. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 3, it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. People are celebrating the fact that we are about to get a new president, thinking he is the answer to our prayers. Those that support this foolishness are about to learn from this lesson the hard way. Are you one of them? Well, that is the end of our message for this particular session. And like I said, this message was first published back in 2021. That was after the current president at the time when it was being written was Joe Biden. Now we're getting ready to get into another election cycle the next 1 month from now, where we're facing basically the same type of situation, where once again Donald Trump is running for office, and as usual the Democrats are doing what they always do, trying to character assassinate him, lie on him and things. And as is the case, well, the only difference, one of the differences between back then and now, somebody tried to assassinate him and wound up wounding him at one of his rallies. Then they caught somebody hiding out at one of his golf courses. There was going to be an attempted assassination. And then I heard that there was another situation where somebody else was caught trying to assassinate him. So you see, you got all of these things going on. Why is this the case? Because of this one man who, if you look at what he did for everybody in America when he was elected in 2016 up until during the time he was in office, America, the economy was humming. We had the lowest unemployment rate in history for everybody, and especially the black community. I mean, blacks were getting off of welfare and all that other stuff and things. And all of these good things were happening. And meanwhile, black leadership was busy talking about the fact, I'm not going to recognize him as president. And it's funny, a couple of the main people that were congressional in the Congress and things that basically held that position, both of them wound up dying in office. So, I mean, you know, you can take that for what it's worth, but I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a perfect man of God, but at the same time, God can use whoever he wants to use to accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish. He just needs an obedient servant. And evidently, Donald Trump was that obedient servant. But because Donald Trump, especially when it came down to the abortion issue, he got the Supreme Court with enough people on it that were conservative to overturn the abortion law that the Supreme Court had put in place in 1972 or 73, and that really set them off. I mean, you know, people were going crazy around here. All of this stuff about a woman's right to choose. She got a right to do this. She's got a right to do that. And that's what they still running on. They running on the fact that they don't need to have him back in office because he's going to make things even worse by banning abortion completely, which they're lying. Because if he wanted to ban abortion completely, he would have done it when he was in office the first time around. He said he was going to leave it up to the states. And what do we have? We've got a woman that's running as running for president of the Democratic Party that is vowing to, if she gets elected, to make abortion once again the law of the land. So there can be no mistake about where she's, where her priorities and things are, and they aren't with or along the lines of with what God says is right and wrong. And that's, my friend, is going to lead this nation back into all types of problems. But more about that in the coming months. But anyway, I hope that you got something from this message. You need to get out and vote. And if you're a Christian, I'm going to tell you now, you shouldn't be a member of the Democratic Party if you're a Christian. And you definitely should not be supporting the Democratic Party as long as that party is supporting abortion, gay rights, and gay marriage. If you are a Christian and you doing that, then friend, I'm going to tell you something. I doubt very seriously that you are a Christian, because you don't know what a Christian is supposed to be about. The church is supposed to be about tearing down the strongholds of the devil. The Democratic Party is about building more strongholds for the devil. And he's got Christians helping them do it, or people that claiming that they're Christians helping them do it. But anyway, whatever the circumstance is, go out and vote like you're supposed to on November the 5th. But remember this, God knows who you voted for, and you can either reap the blessing for voting the right way, or you going to reap the curse for voting the wrong way. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. Let me just say God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.